Have you ever come back from a vacation feeling heavier than when you left? Do you ever sleep through the entire weekend, only to wake up on Monday morning feeling a mix of grim determination and anxiety? As Sunday night approaches, a nameless weight begins to press down on our chests. We lie in bed, but our hands habitually reach for our smartphones to check emails or news headlines. Our bodies are resting, but our brains have already armed themselves like soldiers marching back to the front lines. We live in the smart era, the most efficient time in human history. Yet paradoxically, we are living in the era that has completely lost the art of deep rest. Why do we feel like we haven't rested, even when we stop working? Is it simply because the workload is too heavy? No. I want to diagnose the root cause of this chronic fatigue today. It is not a physical problem. It is an identity crisis. The reason we cannot rest is that we are looking for the answer to who I am in what I do. We tell ourselves, I am only valuable when I am producing results, or if I fall behind, I am finished. Because this false identity lies at the bottom of our souls. Even when we lie in bed, the anxiety of the me who is not achieving whips us, preventing us from truly resting. German-Korean philosopher Byung-Chul Han sharply dissects this crisis in his book The Burnout Society. He argues that modern individuals are not exploited by others, but rather we exploit ourselves. In the past, slaves heard the command, "You must work." But today's modern slaves whisper to themselves, "You can do more." "Yes, I can." This sounds like freedom, but it is actually a trap. We have become achievement subjects who burn up today as fuel to create a more competent version of ourselves for tomorrow. We look at the flashy successes of others on social media and constantly blame ourselves. Why can't I do as well as they do? We have become both the perpetrator and the victim, flogging our own souls with the whip of productivity. The Bible paints a perfect portrait of the modern person trapped in this compulsion for achievement. Look at Martha in Luke 10. On the day she invited Jesus to her home, Martha's kitchen was a battlefield. She wanted to present the best table to Jesus. But when her sister Mary didn't help, she exploded. "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone?" This wasn't just annoyance. To borrow the words of psychologist Brené Brown, this is hustling for worthiness. Deep down, Martha feared, "If I don't do this perfectly, Jesus won't recognize me." She wasn't working to serve Jesus. She was working to prove her usefulness. Because her identity was stuck as a competent servant, her labor left her with no joy, only resentment. We see this same tragedy in the elder brother in the parable of the prodigal son, Luke 15. He was a model son who never left his father. Yet when his younger brother returned and a party was thrown, he stood outside in his sweat-soaked field clothes, angry. He complained to his father, "Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat." Luke 15:29. Listen closely to his language. This is not the language of a son. It is the language of an employee. "I put in this much input, so give me this much output." Spiritual writer Henry Nouwen called him the prodigal who stayed home. A person whose body is in the father's house, grace, but whose mind is in the workplace, achievement, can never enjoy the feast. The employee works for a paycheck, a goat, but the son enjoys simply being with the father. How then do we escape this prison? Jesus told the busy Martha, "One thing is necessary," and praised Mary for choosing the better part. What did Mary choose?
She chose to do nothing but sit at the Lord's feet. She chose being. The world points fingers at this, calling it laziness. However, modern neuroscience proves that this is the highest form of recovery.
Stanford neuroscientist Andrew Huberman states that our brain never recovers when we are constantly processing something.
Only when we enter a state of non-sleep, deep rest, NSDR, intentionally doing nothing, does the brain reset and creativity awaken. Spiritually, it is the same. We do not rest to work better. We rest to confirm that we are not machines that produce results, but images of God. However, the moment we hear the gospel declaration, "You are worthy even if you do not achieve," a warning siren goes off in our minds. Having lived our whole lives in competition, we instinctively feel fear. Is it really okay to stop? Won't I fall behind? We must clear away the fog of three fatal misconceptions that block us from true rest. First, this is not about becoming a loser. We fear that stopping makes us lazy. But there is a fundamental difference between quitting and resting. A sense of defeat comes from being empty and having no choice but to stop. Spiritual rest, however, comes from voluntarily stopping out of trust in God. Think of an archer. To shoot an arrow far, they must pull the string back and hold it in stillness. This stillness is not laziness. It is the most dynamic moment of accumulating the power to pierce the target. Stopping in God is not quiet quitting to run away from the world. It is quietly refueling to go further. Second, this is not narcissism. You might ask, isn't focusing on my own acceptance selfish? But self-love and narcissism are opposites. Narcissism is like a hole. Because the inside is empty, it constantly uses others as mirrors to reflect itself. On the other hand, accepting God's acceptance is like a fountain. Only when I am first filled with God's love can I forget myself and truly love my neighbor. Narcissism arrogantly says, "I am better than you." Grace humbly confesses, "I am loved, and so are you." Third, this is not the woke mindset of fragility. Some mistake this for a culture of entitlement that only values one's own feelings. The so-called woke mindset looks outward, demanding, "Society must validate me for me to be whole." But the gospel mindset is firm. Society does not define me. The Creator defined me. We are not powerless victims who can only be happy if the world changes. We are dignified children of God, childship, who remain unshaken even when the world is harsh. Conclusion: resign as an employee. Go home as a child. Dear friends, it is time to submit your resignation letter for the position of employee of the universe. Step down from the seat of CEO of your life that you have burdened yourself with. Jewish theologian Abraham Joshua Heschel called the Sabbath a day to build a sanctuary in time. Through rest, we must declare, "I am not my resume. I am a beloved child of God." An employee becomes a stranger upon retirement, but a child is forever the father's joy. Even if you failed to live according to your plan today, even if you achieved nothing, your value has not decreased by even 1%. God does not want to see your hands, achievements. He wants to see your face, presence. This week, Move your life from Martha's busy kitchen to Mary's quiet feet. And let the voice that Jesus heard at his baptism ring in your soul. You are my beloved child. Simply being with you brings me joy. Mark 1:11. Only upon this solid identity can we finally enjoy a peace that cannot be taken away, even in this warlike world. Conclusion: resign as an employee. Go home as a child. Dear friends, it is time to submit your resignation letter for the position of employee of the universe. Step down from the seat of CEO of your life that you have burdened yourself with. Jewish theologian Abraham Joshua Heschel called the Sabbath a day to build a sanctuary in time. Through rest, we must declare, I am not my resume. I am a beloved child of God. An employee becomes a stranger upon retirement, but the child is forever the father's joy. Even if you fail to live according to your plan today, even if you achieve nothing, your value has not decreased by even 1%. God does not want to see your hands, achievements. He wants to see your face, presence. This week, move your life from Martha's busy kitchen to Mary's quiet feet. And let the voice that Jesus heard at his baptism ring in your soul. You are my beloved child. Simply being with you brings me joy. Mark 1:11. Only upon this solid identity can we finally enjoy a peace that cannot be taken away, even in this warlike world.